All right, quieting down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios. Another Brit and Yankee craft beer pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Knock the wild dune, bring the drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lad. You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Yeah, and today it is another special occasion because I'm sitting here. The Brit is with the Yankee, Mike Lingerfelter.
Hey, Philly, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Lingo. So it is rather a special occasion today because we usually do our Corridor 55 special releases with a live audience.
And today, now they're all dead.
No, sorry. It may seem rather quiet in here, but we only have one man who is in the audience. Are you in the audience? There we go. Thank you.
Yes.
That would be a yes. Yeah. And that man in the background there is Alex Stankers, who is out brewing at the moment a batch of ESB. And I feel rather privileged because, Lingo, you stirred the paddle and I poured in some English Fuggles hops. It's Kent Golding hops. Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what it was.
Yeah, and it smelled so good.
It did.
It makes your mouth water just smelling that brewing process. It's
I'll let you taste it because it's bloody hot at the moment. But.
It's just bubbling over there.
So anyway.
You guys are collaborators on that.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. And that is the voice of the man who we're going to be talking to today. And hopefully Alex as well. Once he gets into his second boil, he'll rush over and he'll have his timer set.
Yeah.
But I'm with Charles St. Clair, who is one of the holy trinity of fine folks.
I don't know about
here.
Holy.
Yeah, okay.
I think my mom would have something to say about that.
Okay. Oh, we don't care about people. We're at Black Horizon Brewing Company, which is just off Route 83 in Willowbrook. And this is kind of a second visit for us because way back, just about the end of July, after you guys had opened up, I stuck my nose in and said, hey guys, can you give me a quick interview? And the third member of your crew, who is Kevin Baldus, correct?
Correct.
Who is not with us here tonight, he said, oh, okay. And he'd been brewing and he still had his wellies on. So he's a man who brews in wellies.
Yeah.
And does he brew in wellies? No, he's got like hobnail boots. So we're going to actually have a conversation about the Black Horizon Brewing Company, how they've progressed. And as they're coming up in the next about 6 weeks, Bastille Day, July the 14th. Is their 1 year anniversary. Do you know what Bastille Day was, Lingo?
I don't know, but I'm sure you will tell me.
Yes, you're correct. It was the day that the French said, bugger off English.
Ah.
No, it wasn't. It was the French Revolution, and I think they started chopping the heads off at that time. Are you going to have any guillotine activity here, Charles?
Oh, there's a few people I'd like to stick under a guillotine, but I think we'll hold off on that till the second anniversary.
Sorry about that.
Caught you by surprise, did it, Philly?
Anyway, real quickly, a couple of admin things. As I say, this is the fifth edition of Corridor 55 Special Release, where we're focusing on breweries that are within 4 miles of an exit on I-55.
And I think we're about a half mile away.
I think we are.
If not less, indeed.
We'll get your details of where you are exactly before the end of the show. And if you want to get hold of us, you can find us at Pints at the Brick and Yankee. We are on all the appropriate podcast aggregators, mostly iTunes, but if you've got a smartphone, then it's smart enough to find us.
Yeah.
Unless it's an Android. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
we don't want to go
there.
All right.
Easy.
Go back in a few editions, folks, and know what that's about. So what we'd usually do in the show here for these editions is we have four beers. Three of them come from the brewery that we're talking about, and the fourth one comes as the chain beer, which is the next brewery in the link, if you will. The next link in the chain,
link in
right?
the chain of the brewery.
Now, that is going to be a skeleton key, and hopefully, I'm not so certain that they'll be able to get here, but I do know that the producer of this show, Kevin Herbs, has gone down to the brewery, is picking up a growler, and we're going to taste that beer and have you guys...
It's a quick trip over there. It's like 15 minutes right down Plainfield.
And actually, when we get to that beer, we'll talk about collaboration that you did with them a little bit back. So enough of me talking. Charles, what is your first beer, which is, we call our flagship beer... Well, your flagship beer, something that is always going to be available on tap.
I actually have a couple that are
all right.
not always be on tap because they rotate off and come back on. But so this one's one that we've done for the first time, but it will be back. It's called the Shame on You. It's a double dry hopped IPA, and it is straight Citra hops.
So when you say double dry hopped, just to explain for the uninitiated what exactly that means.
So we use the cryo hops that have like 50% of the vegetal matter removed. And so basically instead of putting those cryo pellets into the boil, where you're going to get that bitterness, that acidity, we're putting it into the fermentation stage. And we do two doses at different points of the fermentation stage so that you get more of the floral notes of the hop, the fruity notes of the hop. So it really opens it up and makes it a nice, easy drinking beer without all the associated bitterness of an IPA.
Well, stop chatting and pass it out.
It's the second one in there.
Oh, the second one in there. Okay, are you joining us for this?
I gave you one each.
Oh, one each. You're not joining us then. Okay, so
I want to stay sober for this one.
Oh, right.
You know what? This one.
They always said that's the first rule of doing a podcast about craft beer.
Don't get high on your own supply.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I like that one.
Okay, very good. Okay, so as I look at this, it's hazy. Would you consider this to be a hazy IPA?
No, I would not, because actually that's probably just hazy because of the sedimentation. We moved the keg around a little bit,
okay.
So we didn't have enough time Yeah, that's very fresh. Yeah, we just threw that one on.
I'm getting a delicious aroma from it.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, the aroma is unbelievable.
He's almost halfway done with his while you're still sniffing yours.
It's because he talks more than I do, and I'm like, yeah, I want to get into the beer because I'm smelling it and it's good, so I got to taste it.
Don't forget to take a picture of it There we go.
I took a picture of all of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did. All right. Good man. Well, we'll have to figure out which is which now.
It was the second one right to left.
All right. So, but is that your right or my left? Never mind. Charles, how did you get into the business of brewing?
Oh, my.
Okay. So, obviously, there's a tale of you three guys. Start at the beginning
and end at the end.
Yeah.
It's all about family, friends, and just people who know people. So it turns out way back in about 4 years ago, 2013, 2012, I met our partner, Kevin Baldus, through his wife. His wife worked at a wine shop in Hinsdale called the Village Cellar.
Ding, ding. Sponsors bell.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay. Take that back.
So my wife and I would go in there and have drinks when I got off the train from work. Diane was working there, and my wife loves wine. I am not a wine fan or an aficionado in any way, shape, or form. I don't have a palate for it, but I love beer. I love really good beer. One of my favorites is La Fin du Monde. You know, the nice Belgian there.
Oh, yeah, and, right. By, one of the
by
classics.
By Uni Brau in Quebec. So they actually had it on in their cooler, and along with other great ones like Dragon's Milk, and I can go on and on, but they had a really good selection of craft beer. So I would go in. We'd go in and just hang out and drink the beer, and got to know Diane, and she knew I liked beer, so when and she wasn't that great at beer herself, so whenever a customer would come in asking for a beer suggestion, she'd say, well, why don't you ask Charles, and he can give you a great suggestion. So I would give great suggestions, I guess, and then from there she said, oh, my husband's a brewer, maybe you guys can get together and talk beer or whatever. And so I met Kevin, and we all started hanging out. And one day Kevin invited me to his house to brew. I think we'd actually gone to his house for Baltoberfest, which is a festival he would have every year to showcase the beers that he had brewed. And he had one coffee and donuts beer that was phenomenal. So this time it was just me and him on a Saturday morning in March of 2013, I do believe. And he's like, hey, we're Belgian Quaddy new, since he knew I was interested in Belgians. And so he took me through the whole process of brewing the beer. And so in like October of that year, we cracked it open, and it was delicious. It was a 12%er. It had that nice crisp. Nice crisp apple finish to it. It was really, really good. So we called it a St. Baldus because it was a collaboration between the two of us, St. Clair and Baldus.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So that was the beer, pretty much the beer that started it all. So it turns out another friend of my wife, she ran into at the Village Cellar, and he knew someone who wanted to put together a project out in Batavia. A brewery at La Campana, I think the name of the building was. It's a big, big warehouse building.
We're very familiar with it. Yeah, because that's Lingo's part of the woods.
Okay,
yeah.
big Art Deco building. Yep. And one of the multiple owners of the building was interested in putting a brewery in there. So we said, okay, hey, we'll give it a shot. So we started doing our due diligence and went out to the site, looked at it, and, you know, talking money and things like that. And but it turns out at the time Batavia had well water,
yeah.
So that's an additional cost we really didn't want to get into, and so that project fell to the wayside. But that individual who brought us onto that project brought Alex into the mix as well, because he was a friend of a family, yeah. Something like that, friend of a family friend. Brought Alex in, we met him, tasted some of his beers. I think where did we meet? It was in LaGrange at Palmer's. Yeah, that's okay. Right. We had a meeting at Palmer's. And that's where we met. And it was all four of us. So myself, Kevin, Alex, and the fourth partner. There were four partners originally. The fourth partner dropped out as we were working toward completing, beginning this project. Mm-hmm. And then it was just the three of us, and we decided, yeah, let's keep going forward with it, and let's find a good spot. At the time I lived in Hinsdale, Kevin lives in Aurora, Alex lives in Downers Grove. And so it turns out that our real estate agent brought us to this place, and it was like it hit on all cylinders. It was perfect size. It's just the perfect location. It's right off of 55 and yep. One of the busiest, you know, interstates in the Chicago area. 83
was particularly busy this evening.
83 is always busy on the late afternoon. So it was a great location, a great price. The landlord of the building he's a home brewer as well.
Oh.
So he was fully on board with bringing us in here. And Wade, say hello to Wade there. I'm sure he'll be listening to this. And and he was excited about it. We were excited about it. So we said, "Hey, let's make this happen." So,
a couple of questions come to mind in that one. And number one is, darn, why didn't La Campana come to fruition? Because that would have been around the corner from us. The thing that comes to mind is, okay, you probably had to do a business plan.
Yes.
So is that in your background? Because I'm sensing that you happen to be a business guy.
Actually, no, I'm a network engineer by trade.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
I'm a network engineer for a law firm downtown in the Willis Tower. I spent 24 years in the military. Started out as enlisted, retired as a captain in 2008. So, you know, that's in my background. Just
so you probably did a business plan, right?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yes, okay.
We definitely did a business
plan. No matter how small you are, and I wouldn't say this place is small. It's the perfect size for what you are doing, and has room for expansion. Mm-hmm. So it's not a cheap matter to get going with a brewing environment. So you had to do something to make the bankers happy.
Yes, and
unless you're all three invested, and that's great.
We are, and we only took a very, very, very small loan. So this is truly a shoestring budget operation. Yeah. It came from from, so all three of us are have the same percentage, the same amount in, and truly, Alex had over many years purchased most of the equipment, most of the brewing equipment back there. So he already had that in storage. That was a phenomenal thing right there. So we didn't have to go out looking for stainless steel. We already had it. We already had the setup. So basically, we just had to do the plumbing and electricity to it, and we had to buy the panel, and the control panel.
Did you do that yourself?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
A lot of this was sweat equity. So the drains, there were no drains in the floor. There was just a crappy bathroom over here in the corner. This was all just empty open space. We pickaxed the floors, sawed open the floors, and I think we had a piece of the concrete here somewhere. And so we had to dig the drains. We had to dig pits for the toilets. I was over here with a pickaxe.
Wait a minute, you got a pit for the toilets? What's going on?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so we had to do all of that. We did a lot of this. Kevin's uncle owns an equipment rental place, so he pretty much said, whatever you guys need, just come pick it up from Michigan, bring it over and use it. Just bring it back. So that saved us a lot of money. So family helped out a lot here. You know, things got tough or whatever, we could all turn to family. So so I would say of the full amount of money that we invested in this personally, about maybe 10% came from our bank. And that was at the end of everything. Yeah. That was almost near the opening, where we just did it just to see if we had, you know, if we could get some business credit or whatever. So basically that was just icing on the cake, because we were almost done with the project at that time.
So at this point, do you guys basically work it all yourselves, or do you have employees too?
There are the three of us. We are owners.
Do you have employees?
No,
that
we
you,
do not.
So it's all family run.
It's just the three of us. So we're not related. But
you get anybody else? The wives come in work
on like Sundays, and when we really know that we're really, really going to be busy, or one of us is out of town, or a couple of us may be out of town, we'll get the wives to come in. Sundays is, I work with my wife, and if it's busy, she'll come in, work with me, and then, you know, just so we can all get time off. So we switch up days off, and Kevin's wife will work the opposite. So we work opposite Sundays and Thursdays. We switch off those 2 days.
So this is really, I think it's quite impressive, because when I came here the first time, I enjoyed each of your beers. A lot of they weren't all to my taste, because I'm not keen on all styles, but I could appreciate that each of the beers was well made. So if I can get back to this one, which was the, what
shame
again?
Shame on you.
Shame on Mitzi. Shame on me for forgetting. Okay. This is a very tasty starter beer. I would recommend a pint of this as a first one for somebody, because IPAs are very popular, right? And this hits a lot of the notes, the citrus, nice dry finish, but not too much. Very Moorish and pintable, as we like to say.
As you know, I am not one for hoppy, or IPAs, I should say. And calling this a starter beer, if I didn't taste it, I would be taken back and go, wait a second, you don't start with an IPA. You got the floral, you get right off the bat. Yeah. I got some citrus off of here. Mm-hmm. Now, I was expecting, again, the super bitter hit. This is so smooth.
Yeah, smoothness.
The smoothness in this overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. On the back end, a little bit of bitterness, doesn't hang in there forever, just enough to let you know, yeah, you had some hops, it's there. Definitely, I would agree 100%. I can't believe I'm going to say this, that this IPA, you definitely would love to have this as a starter beer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you said you had a couple of flagships, so we're going to go to flagship 2.
That would be the Weird Dynamic, which is
the Weird Dynamic
lactose IPA, which is a milkshake. It's got lactose and vanilla.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be interesting. So I'm going to have you cogitate on my next question, which is Charles.
I will think on your next question.
As one of the owners, what keeps you awake at night? We are drinking flagship beer number 2. Now, we don't often get 2 flagship beers, but I think it's great that we did. We got Stereo. So yes. This one, I believe you called Weird Dynamic. So yes. Tell us about this, because it's blowing my mind.
It is a lactose IPA with vanilla in a milkshake style. Alex, what's the hops in the Weird Dynamic?
It's 100% Holotal Blanc.
There you go.
Say that again.
Holotal Blanc hops.
Okay. So a very classic German.
Yes.
Right. What's the characteristics of that? Does that provide the vanilla flavor?
Oh, no. The vanilla flavor is actual vanilla.
Vanilla, okay.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to give
this
a go.
Which is what I'm getting right off the bat with the smell.
Okay.
The aromatics is strictly vanilla.
So, Charles, the question that we left you with whilst we cogitate this brew was, what keeps you, as a owner, what keeps you awake at night?
Absolutely nothing. I sleep.
Oh, I love it.
I truly sleep like the dead. When I go home, I'd shut it off because I tend to think that I like to solve the problems as they're happening during the day. And if I haven't solved that problem that day, staying up awake at night won't help me. I'll sleep on it. I'll go and lay and just clear my mind. And wake up and tackle it the next day, because I don't like to lose sleep because I have very little free time, and the time that I can sleep, I sleep. and it's a military thing too. Sleep when you can.
Oh, there you go. And, yeah. And what about the other two? Are they worry warts?
No, not so much. Alex can be a little worried, but you know he's a perfectionist. That's okay. I like that in a head brewer. Perfection, good thing.
Yep.
Cleanliness, even better. So, you know, if he wants to be antsy and squirrely about that, good.
Have you ever had to dump a brew?
One, I believe. It just had a funky taste to it that Alex really didn't like. And he's got a palate. He has a phenomenal palate. So if he said it was bad, then that's great. And that's the great thing about having a 2-barrel system. If we dump 62 gallons of beer, who cares? You know,
I don't know. It's a crying shame.
We're not going to serve people crap beers just to make a few extra bucks. No, we'd rather get rid of, because we don't want to be known as the guys that serve crap beer.
Right.
We try to go for consistency.
Craft beer, not crap. Not
exactly.
Beer.
Craft, not crap. Maybe we should make that our motto. Never mind.
There you go.
But yeah,
I think somebody took the no crap on tap one, if I remember right.
Oh, well, damn it.
Yeah, there you go.
No, there that idea goes.
So this beer that we're drinking here, it
wait,
has,
then you mean that he's almost done?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
See, he's been talking.
So this has definitely got a vanilla aroma, notes of vanilla at the beginning. It's nice and smooth. And it's kind of chewy, which the lactose kind of gives it.
Yep.
And then at the end of it, I do get a little bit of bitterness and hoppiness in it, not too much. I think it's very unique.
Little, not as much bitterness as the first one, though.
No.
I don't think it...
I think the lactose and vanilla kind of smooths out that bitterness and the hoppiness.
With the bitterness, it just kind of flows together, and that's maybe where it...
Where the difference comes in.
Yeah,
so I don't think I've ever had a vanilla in my IPA. Do you know of another beer that does one?
Off the top of my head, no.
No. Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
Now, I would say, you were talking about people that don't like hoppy beers. This would be an great introductory beer. And from this one, they could slide into that Shame on You. You know, and just kick it up half a notch, hitting that Shame on You. But this one, great introductory beer for people that really don't like IPAs or don't think they like IPAs.
And as I inhale a little bit, the vanilla comes out a lot more on my second sip.
We try not to make it too cloying.
Right.
You know, where it's just like a vanilla punch in the nose.
Yeah, it is a little sweeter. I think it's very unique. What's your view on adjuncts? Because I'm hoping that you are going to produce, as your showcase beer, one that I see you've just put on. I don't know whether you've got it available. We'll find out.
Let's see. Are you talking about
you guys had a delicious porter the last time I was here called Straight Up.
Oh, yeah. That's
the Straight Up
Blackberry
now
is there.
Blackberry, which...
That is one of our flagships.
There are certain adjuncts you can add that really, I think, go well.
That's one of them.
And that's one of them. Yeah.
Blackberry, raspberry.
I would go with a raspberry as well.
Raspberry was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we, I think this is one of the more interesting beers that are on there with an adjunct in it. So
what do you think your biggest problem is when you're producing beer?
Not that you're doing it.
Yeah. Exactly. No. I'm just trying to think of what they usually say. Just the time and fermenter count, size. We're always afraid that we're going to run out of beer on tap.
Yeah.
So we want to keep brewing, keeping those fermenters filled, and kegging them up.
So you had issues with the Batavia water. How's that compared to the water here?
This water's phenomenal. Even though it's Chicago water, we still throw a filter on it. So
we have been joined, I'm glad to say, by producer Kevin Herbst. Hello, Kevin.
How are we doing today, Phil and the team?
We're doing real good. We're having a good conversation with Charles in charge here. And Alex is in the background brewing beer. He's brewing an ESB. And it's a collaboration now because he lingo stirred and I put the hops in. So we love it. Anyway, back to the show. So he was talking about what things they had problems producing beer. Now, when you guys opened up in this very hot market of craft beer opening up, when you opened, what exactly did you hope to achieve in your first year in terms of how the market was and what you wanted from opening up this particular brewery?
I think what we wanted to do was we wanted to establish our brand. We wanted to, everyone was like, oh, why didn't you go bigger? Two barrel system, we wanted to make the tap room the place to be, to get, again, small budget. Started out with small budget, so we couldn't do big advertising or anything like that. So a lot of this was Facebook, word of mouth, emails, to get the word out. And then once we opened, we felt we had great beers. Then the beers would speak for themselves. And then people would, it's kind of like that Herbal Essence commercial from back in the late 70s, early 80s. They'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. And that's what we find to be happening, is people are saying, my dad was here, my brother was here, my cousin was here, my uncle was here. They said, you got to come in, you have to try the beers. This place is great, it's got a great atmosphere. And I'm not breaking my arm, patting myself on the back. This is just what I'm hearing. So right. I'm just, and this is what our reviews on Yelp and Square say, is it's a great, friendly place. The owners / bartenders, us, treat you, once they get to know you, they treat you like family. We try and greet everybody as they walk in the door, especially if we recognize them, we greet them by name. But even if they're the first time coming in, hey, how you doing? Let them know that we saw them. So, I'm going to be a little stereotypical. We're not like just the snobby, the hipster beer snobs that, think that we're doing you a favor, or, we're doing you a favor by allowing you to come into our brewery and taste our delicious beer. Yeah. We're just like, hey, come taste this beer. We make some great beer. We have so many different kinds. We pretty much appeal to every palate there. Tell your friends, bring your friends in. We make it a kid-friendly place. We have games, we have video games, board games. We just opened up the outdoor patio out there. Now it's dog-friendly out on the patio, whereas before no dogs were allowed in the brewery. Now you can have your dogs out on the patio.
And we're not out on the patio right now because
it's pouring rain. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Which is amazing, seeing as it was so beautiful over the past weekend.
Yeah.
But I guess all good things come to an end.
It's kind of in line with running ESB on a rainy, similar London day.
Nope. Sorry, I forgot my Macintosh.
Thank God.
Anyway.
But you do have your brolly.
Yeah, I got my brolly, yeah. And with a pair of wellies next to me, we should be all set here.
Yeah,
so, So tagging on to that, hitting on the English stereotype, you guys, you're doing an ESB, which is typically...
And this is the second time we've done this.
The first time we did
the Comfy Pants. Actually, that was one of the first beers that we canned. Was Comfy Pants along with another version of the Horizon Pale Ale.
Okay,
we did a short...
That brings me onto the topic of you brought me ahead here. So canning. you are canning, obviously, because you just said it.
Yes, we do have we have a one can seamer, so it's
a seamer?
Just the where you basically put the one can on it and it spins around and you just so seam like the lid on it.
Oh my god, so
yeah, exactly. It's like making crowlers. Yeah. But so we do it on a smaller scale. 12-ounce or 16-ounce cans. Right. So
that's a labor of love.
Yes, it is. It's kind of labor intensive, so we really have to like the beer that we're gonna put in there.
Do you send that out, or you just sell
it in-house? Okay. We just sell it in-house.
So you've got no distribution at this point
Not at this point, yeah.
Unless you hump a keg out somewhere.
Exactly. And onesie, twosie, hey, you know, and we had a keg of our Dust to Dust on over at Stats over here, just down the street and around the corner, literally. Just to see how it moved. And it moved, and people liked it, and it kind of got our name out there. They talked us up. They still talk us up, you know, and say, hey, did you know there's a brewery right down the street? And people come in, hey, so-and-so from Stats sent me on over. So we totally appreciate it. Great neighbors, great friends. And that's a good relationship to develop.
Okay. So next then perhaps is going to be full-scale canning production. Who knows? Because then it takes it away from you.
We'll probably do the next time we do a can. I think we may be doing that double dry hop double IPA that I told you about. Fool Me Twice. We may can that one, and for sure we're going to do a canning of that St. Baldus. On we have a barrel aged version of the St. Baldus, so barrel aged Belgian quad.
That would be tremendous in a can. Can I assume it's a small can or
16-ounce?
A 16-ounce.
It is a 16-ounce. We do four packs of 16-ounce cans.
Sign me up for one of them four packs because I'm a Belgian quad man myself.
I believe we'll be doing that on our 1 year anniversary.
Excellent. So look for that. You heard it here first.
Steel Day, baby.
Yeah, there we go. All right, we're going to come back and move on to what is one of your showcase beers, and then hopefully you'll get the one I want. We can talk about that and find out a little bit more about the brewing. Coming back now with we've had a couple of flagships. We've got what I think is one semi showcase and one definite showcase in my opinion, which I had to egg him on to get, but I think we've got it here. So what we're drinking here is a Belgian red, i.e. a bearded guard, I'm told is another name. What's it called, Charles?
It is called Hive Mind.
Hive Mind.
Correct.
Does that mean there is honey in it?
No.
Oh, okay. Where did the name come from? So that brings me to, okay, where do your names come from?
Most of the names come from Alex, because whoever brews the beer names the beer. So, Alex, Hive Mind.
Story of when I used to work grocery checkout long, long, long ago. There would be big lapses of when people would come up and check out. So you have nothing to do for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, every single person in the grocery store would want to come up, so we used to call it the Hive Mind Effect. So it's just always been on a list.
Did you get that? Because you might have to repeat it. I should have got up and rushed over.
Yeah, you should have stuck it right under his chin. He said that long, long ago when he was working grocery checkout, there would be periods of time when there was nobody coming through. Just nobody coming through the checkout, and then all of a sudden, everybody that was in the store comes like a swarm of bees.
Oh, I see.
To check out.
So I got
like
you.
A hive mentality.
It's kind of like buses with bananas, right? None of them come along, and then they all come along in a bunch.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Anyway.
Wow. Buses on a banana bunch.
So back to the beer.
I got that.
But now, I would not call this a Domaine DuPage Beer de Garde. Now, it may be a Beer de Garde, but this is definitely more Belgian.
Yes.
Great. This is good. Now, I'm not a red man. I don't like reds.
Only when I get embarrassed.
Are you slurring my people against the Irish?
Yeah. The sunburned Irish.
But this one I really like.
Yeah,
because it's got a sweetness to it, a little that Belgian spicy.
Yep. It was the Domaine du Page is the closest that I can compare it to, because as far as taste, the hoppiness, the hoppy Belgian, that was the, so I wouldn't say it is the same type, but it's the closest in taste. And I kind of like ours better, of course, because it's ours. So
yeah, it's very individual. I wouldn't say, I'm not going to compare it anymore because I know it's different.
Yes.
Yeah. Which no, kind of brings me to my next question, which is, how do you reach beyond the hardcore craft beer public and try and bring in, you know, people who don't know craft beer, first timers?
That would be with our Radiant Visions and with our industrial complex. Radiant Visions is our very basic Kolsch. Just so those are for the people, the friends of the craft beer aficionados that come in and they say, I want something that tastes like Miller Lite. I want something that tastes like Bud Light. I want a Pilsner. I want a lager. We have that for you. We have a Kolsch. We have a lager, which is our industrial complex. The Radiant Visions is our Kolsch. So we do make beer for the everyday, easy drinking man, woman. I won't say child.
Give them something they like, and yes, then introduce them to something else.
Yes, and that is usually what they tend to do, is say, hey, let me take a sip of yours. Oh my gosh, I like that. Such as our short side that we have, which is our Belgian Blonde. I don't think it's up there anymore, but a lot of people that aren't craft beer drinkers love that one.
So it seems like you do a lot of Belgians.
And we do, because, you know, we like the taste. Belgians and porter stouts. We have our flagship stout is called Big Chocolate. No, it's not because of me.
Wow, I was so going to go there.
Everybody always, did they name that after you? I'm like, no.
Part of me, they did.
That would be the height of hubris.
I'm going to say that for those of you who haven't recognized it by now, please go out to the website and see the pictures.
then you'll know who Big Chocolate might be named after.
Since we're speaking personally, let's go to something totally different.
Uh-oh. And now for something completely different. Thank you.
What kind of British. When you do find the rare time that you have time for yourself or time for you and your wife, do you watch any TV? Do you have special TV shows?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have series that you like to do?
Oh, we binge watch.
Charles in Charge, right?
Nobody should ever watch that.
There was a beer. There was actually a drink that I made back in college. I was a bartender in college, and I had my drinks that I would only make some of my special friends. One of them was a Charles in Charge. One of them was a Tarantula. Another one was called The Rail, which was pretty much, I made a delicious drink with everything that was on the rail. But anyway, back to your question. Yes, there are a lot of shows that we watch. Of course, we watch, you know, binge watch Game of Thrones. We watch Krypton, which is actually a pretty good show.
Okay.
It goes back to Superman's great-great-grandfather, and it's on Sci-Fi channel.
Okay.
We watch Legion, which is completely bizarre.
It is.
And we're just like, what are we watching? We watch crazy shows like Empire. We watch. I'm just trying to think what we have in our queue. Handmaid's Tale. You know, and it's not like things that she's forcing me to watch. That I'm like, oh my god, can we change the channel?
That's like my wife. It's all the Hallmark movies.
She doesn't do that. To me, I get the cooking shows. She wants to watch the cooking shows. I'm like, yeah, no. I'd rather watch a soap flake.
So what about music? Now, do these, obviously he's brewing and he's not playing music, but
He took it off. It was on when
So what is the music taste of you guys?
It is extremely.
The reason we ask those questions is because it's an insight into you guys.
It is extremely eclectic. He listens to like Cookie Monster lyrics, heavy metal, or we can come in and it would be like some bossa nova on.
Really?
Like, what? Who's playing this music? Oh, it's Alex. And Me, I put on one of my favorite, is a Spotify channel called 90s Rock Renaissance, which has like all the stuff from the 90s, from, you know, like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots, all, and, you know, Marcy Playground, just all groups like that. And people really like, they're like, oh my God, what is this? This is one of the greatest playlists I've ever heard. And it's literally 7 hours long. So it just keeps going and going and going. I put it on when you start. And you know, I'll switch it up too. I'll put on just some heavy rap, like Run the Jewels. That used to mean when me and Kevin close at night. Exactly. You'll have to find that one for yourself. When me and Kevin get close to closing time, we'll look at each other and we'll go, Run the Jewels. Oh yeah, and we just turn it up and we just bump that. And,
it used to be Run the Dominics, but they went out of business. That's interesting because you immediately says, okay, what I would listen to is the best of the 70s and 80s.
Oh, I do that too. I was going to say, I listen to classic rock, rock.
That's what I get on the satellite radio is 90s and 80s, and pick a genre and boom, you can go with it.
So that's kind of what you're watching now and listening to now. What I want to move on to is what I'm going to call, hopefully, your inspiration beer, because it's going to inspire me, I hope. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have to say that typically speaking, these guys are going to go out and find a beer that inspired them to begin that brewing process. And I talked to Alex a little bit over there, and maybe once he's finished his brewing, we can bring him over and we'll cut that in. So, if you had to name a beer that would have inspired you to say, oi, I like beer. Because you obviously said, I love beer, right? So if you had to name a beer that said, that was one that really made me get into beer, if you will. I mean, if it's Miller Lite, that's okay.
No, it wasn't. It was not a Miller Lite. It was Chimay.
Oh, right.
It was Chimay Saint-Saëns. It was Chimay. It was all of the three Chimays. And, you know, you got the brownish label, you have the maroon label, and you have the blue label. All three of those. It started out with the maroon label that really turned me on. I started drinking Chimay at Funky Buddha Lounge in Chicago on Grand Avenue.
Okay.
Back in the late 90s. So about 1996, 97. Used to just go there, hang out, and I really didn't feel like drinking, you know, vodka or any of the harder liquors, and so I just wanted something tasty, and I saw the bottle, and I was like, oh, that looks like an interesting bottle of beer. Let's have that. And then after that, I was a complete Belgian fan, and then I discovered Le Fan du Monde. Wow, Trois Pistoles. Wow, you know, pretty much anything from Unibrow. It was phenomenal, and then I just started branching out from there.
So, obviously, a lot of those beers are blended, the lambics, and then you've got all those delicious, like Flanders Red, the tarty sours. Are you moving into those?
No, I'm not a sour person. I'm not a sour person at all. Alex and Kevin love their sours, but me, I'm not a sour beer person. I'll taste it and be like, okay, it's okay. But, yeah, not
that. Do you like it a little tarty?
We did have a farmhouse ale that was called the Fading Memories, which was like a coconut porter kind of gone a little wild. Nice little tartness to it, and it was very, very good. So it went off tap over the weekend. So
okay. It was delicious. So we'll see if we can run over to Alex shortly and see what his inspiration was. And well, I'll cut that in here. Alex has taken a few minutes out to come over and talk to us a little bit. I know he's at the end of his brewing day. What inspired you to start brewing? And Charles was very complimentary about your capabilities when we were talking, how you guys got together. But tell us what inspired you to become a brewer, home brewer, I guess, initially.
Yeah, long ago, initially, I thought beer was disgusting. Because I only knew college beer, so all the wonderful bready macro lagers that were out there, and I would say one of the first times I ever had a beer in which it actually surprised me that you can get flavor into a beer long ago was a Fat Tire from New Belgium. And it's funny to go back to that, talking with all the craziness that is craft beer now. But I just remember having a sip of it during summertime. I go, how did you get flavor into a beer? It kind of blew my mind that there was maltiness there. There was complexity there. Slowly the floodgates opened and I realized there was a lot larger world of beer there. I think one of my go-tos and one of my summer beers is Saison de Pomme. So a really good just French Saison, very easy drinking, peppery, lemony. It's just a really good food pairing beer. And I just started exploring all the different the imports and then slowly just working with craft beer. When I did gourmet food sales, I had the fortunate opportunity to try an infinite amount of things early on and kind of even my craft beer venture in drinking. But a little bit of the traditional German brews as well as it's funny to say and dorky to say, but yeah, I mean, I would say one of the first beers that I ever tried long, long ago that I was like, whoa, was a Fat Tire.
So, a lot of your beers here are traditional with their base, but they're not. I mean, you did a Kolsch. I think Charles was talking about You did a Kolsch at one time. How about some of the ones that you talked about, the German beers? Any of those that you're going to do?
Right now, we have our take on an American Pilsner in the tank right now. So we got that guy going, it's fermenting away, and we're hoping to have that package before our one-year anniversary in July 14th. So we just did all traditional Pilsner malts. It's a traditional German lager yeast. The only slight tweak on it is that we use the same hops that were in the Weird Dynamic, which was Hallertau Blanc. A little bit of a newer school hop in the Whirlpool. So just to give it a little bit of a fruity aroma, a grapey character at the finish. So all the other kettle hops and everything were all still traditional German hops. So we like to have fun with it and put our little bit of a spin on it even when we do traditional styles.
So it sounds like you guys are going to have quite an event here in July when you have your first anniversary. You talked about the Pilsner you're going to do. I think, Charles, you said you were going to have a quad.
Belgian quad.
Belgian quad. Okay.
Barrel-aged Belgian quad.
And anything else
we're gonna be
that people are going to look forward to?
We're going
to
be emptying out a lot of the bourbon barrels that we have. So we do have a bourbon barrel-aged quad, an English strong ale that's been aging in bourbon barrels, red ale. I'm hoping to get in some gin casks very shortly. We're going to toss some stuff in there casually because it only takes about a month to age something in a gin barrel as opposed to long-term maturation in oak and bourbon. So we're gonna have some fun spin-off things. A couple different barrel-aged sours will be on the menu, some blended beers. We're going to be doing an anniversary IPA. We're going to be we've been stockpiling some very expensive hops, which we're just going to showcase in one big... big, beautiful IPA.
If you're doing so many things in barrels, have you considered doing anything in a Chardonnay barrel or anything along those lines?
Yeah, we want to explore wine a little bit more once we kind of up our capacities because mm-hmm. wine barrels are so large and we only brew 65-gallon turns at the time. So for us, our biggest goal at all times is always keeping fresh beer on the menu. Mm-hmm. So we've been fortunate enough to squirrel away portions of our current production and things we did over this year pretty much and have those age and stuff. So our barrel program will be growing exponentially when we do finally size up the brew house and give it that extra capacity.
So from the futures, is that one of the items that's on the cards? You're going to increase capacity, right?
Yeah, we're actively shopping right now for a 5 to a 7 barrel system. We were just in talks with a guy in Michigan about a 10 barrel, so we're waiting to see back if he hits us up about that. So our goal right now is just make more beer. We want to be able to pour you a proper pint.
You know, one thing, gentlemen, I've noticed is particularly, you know, this facility as well as Flask is, I can easily see how you've basically already put the architectural thought into a larger system here, the way it's set up. And, you know, let me just ask, you know, flat out, was that something you were always thinking about, you know, almost to the point where putting up X's, you know, where the equipment was going to be as you grew?
We didn't put up X's, but it's mostly mental imaging. Oh, yeah, look at the ceilings. We can go up. You know, this is what we have here. Some of the stuff that's over there in the back, it's easily moved around. So we just wanted to make sure that we had room to grow and that we weren't going to be busting at the seams, especially, you know, when it comes to signing our new lease, you know, where you have to be like, hey, are we going to stay or are we going to go? You know, so so we didn't want to have to come to that decision.
Did you do
a 2-year lease?
What did we do? We did a 4.
You did 4. Excellent. Because the reason I asked that was, if you're only done a 1-year lease, you didn't have much faith in yourself. I'm glad to say that you guys have hit the nail on the head here. Is that right, you say? Hit the head on the nail. Hit whatever.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
Whatever your preferred idiom. Yeah.
Idioms are correct, Mr. British man.
There you go. But tell us about this final one that we have here. I hope you took a picture of it because he brought it later. Yeah. Okay, good.
That is our straight up porter, and it's a blackberry version of it. So that this is, according to Alex, this porter is the beer that he learned to perfect early on. So he feels that he has that recipe down pat, and that's why he feels. And so we do a lot of variations of that porter.
You know, what should we expect from this one?
The dark roastiness, not truly coffee-esque. You're gonna get a hint of the blackberry without being overwhelmed by it, and just nice easy drinking. It's not really heavy. A lot of people expect it to be a lot heavier than it is. It's not very heavy. You can drink a couple of 12 ounces of those, a couple of 2-3 of those.
Do you class it as a robust porter?
Because
to me, it's real borderline.
Yeah, I said,
push it over the edge a little bit. You know?
I would say it's close to it, but it's approaching robust, but not over not past that.
Kevin, you've been sitting there nice and quiet whilst you sip down the beers and you're on to that stout. What do you reckon on that one?
Well, again, it pushes robust, but it's not robust in the sense is that I can really start to picture and feel the berry that's in there. You know, for Alex to say this is a beer he's perfected, I couldn't argue at all with that statement. Where I'm most happy right now is due to the humidity. This is actually a much better temperature to drink it at than what I would have wanted this beer to be if it came out freshly cold. So, I mean, it's hitting the palate every single part in a perfect way. And, yeah, but this isn't a beer I honestly want to pound. I just want to relax, enjoy this, maybe with a good cigar.
Do you like porters any time of the year, Joe?
Oh, yeah, any time of the year. And we keep them on the list. We have porters and stouts year-round. So a lot of people are like, I went this to, an example is someone went to Miskatonic and last year, and Miskatonic actually said, you know what, Black Horizon has a porter and a stout on tap. Why don't you give them a shot?
Yep.
And, again, that's how breweries getting along with other breweries. Mm-hmm. We send people over to them when we don't have a particular type of beer. We speak highly of them.
And in fact, you sent Kevin over because they were Corridor 55 special release number 4. So he brought over your beer to there. So yeah, we found there's a lot of sharing amongst the breweries.
Yes, yeah.
And before we move on to our chain beer, hang on, Kevin, got something?
I actually just wanted to bring up a point. We actually talked about the other night.
Mm-hmm. At Good Libations?
Exactly, which was a wonderful beer festival for all
phenomenal.
Those.
Were you getting those Good Libations?
I was, and I was.
Everybody.
And we were all dressed strategically for that event. But my,
I don't know what that means.
it was a tropical theme. We were all at tropical shirts.
Oh, okay.
Center,
that's
so.
A good thing. All right, there you go.
Yeah. You know, we come from, you don't have much of that, but that's all right. one of the comments we had talked about off outside was how inviting the Chicagoland community is to new brewers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next time we talk about the collaborations. But, kind of go back into our conversation about how this is really a team environment. Everyone is helping everybody.
It's so funny because when you think of another business opening, it's competition.
Yeah.
You know, another bar opens, then that's gonna less patrons at one bar, more patrons at the other bar. That's the way people think about competition. But to me, when another brewery opens, it's just another choice because nobody is beer monogamous. They're not just gonna say. Or they're not going to say, I'm just going to sit at Skeleton Key. I'm going to only drink what Skeleton Key is making. That's it. I won't go anywhere else. This is my spot. No, they're going to go to Skeleton Key. They're going to go to Moore. They're going to go to Microphone. They're going to go to, this new brewery popped up. I'm going there.
Yeah.
And it's just making the rounds. Maybe you haven't seen the person in a while. That's because they're making the rounds. But they'll be back. They'll be back as you put another new beer on tap. So... It's a community. It's just a community that's growing, offering you more choices, giving you better beer, and it's just sharing of the love.
You know what? And we do hear that. We've talked to the brewers, we've talked to the owners and stuff, and we have, I don't think yet, run into one where, no, these guys are assholes, we're not going to deal with any of those guys. And they really have a positive attitude about the brewing, the craft brewing culture that is out there.
We are not serving up Haterade. It's just, you know, it's just, we promote them, they promote us, people talk, and you just never want to get caught saying something negative about somebody else. No. Because, you know, maybe it was a one-time thing, but, you know, you can ruin a person's name, you can ruin a business just by negativity. And what does negativity accomplish? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we're just staying positive, we're staying focused, and like I said, the new breweries that pop open, we are extremely happy for them. We actually had some guys come in last year. They're looking at opening a brewery, and they came and asked, you know, hey, do you know of any gotchas? More than happy to give them any information that they want. Just like the guys over at Buckle Down were happy to give us any information. Just like guys at Skeleton Key and Miskatonic, happy to share any information. You know, nobody holds all their cards to their chest in this industry here. Maybe recipe-wise, yes, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, but they come, they sit at our bar, the brewers, and they drink our beer, and we go sit at their bar and drink their beer.
And I think what this all boils down to is the reason why the I-55 corridor even started in the first place for this podcast was because there's such a great relationship along the 8 to 9 breweries that are along this corridor that are all helping each other. And in all honesty, it's a great destination for people that want to drink. If you can go from one stop to the other and you're only dealing with a mile or two,
mm-hmm.
that is a wonderful way to actually enjoy your day without putting yourself in a position where you have to drive too far from one place to the next.
We need a tour bus up and down it.
Oh, yeah. I'd say within a 5-mile radius of this brewery, there are about 15 breweries, which is phenomenal.
So I think before we go into our next chain beer, let's all have a chorus of come together.
Come together right now over me.
This question I've been wanting to ask is, where did you guys come up with the name?
Black Horizon, long ago, after several basement beers, just always came, it popped up. Had no really heavy reference or meaning, and so went to the trademark forums and went to Google and couldn't find Black Horizon beer anywhere. So I said, you know what, put that in my pocket. It's always what I called the homebrew beer, and if I ever had that project come to fruition, that's kind of where I wanted to head with it. But now, as we are a business and we are functioning, the joke is that every business wants to be in the black, and that's on our horizon. So it's short, sweet, to the point. So it's not a philosophical reference. It's not a literature reference or anything like that. It's sell beer and make some money.
Yeah. So the logo is awesome. It's simple. Very with the I would imagine that's wheat. I see wheat going
wheat,
around
wheat or barley.
It's very simplistic, and it's refreshing to see something not so complex.
So you mentioned trademarking. did you go through the process of trademarking? Because that's fairly extensive, cost as well.
As soon as we incorporated, that was the first thing we did was trademark the name, trademark the rights to it, glassware branding, all that. I mean, you got to treat, if you're going to do it seriously, you need to treat it as a business and take it very seriously. So we made sure all our legal was locked and loaded, and the logo was, you know, trademarked and locked and loaded, you know, the minute we opened doors.
Well, I think it's pretty darn good. We've tasted your straight up blackberry, and it's a very nice take, as I thought it was going
to
be.
Just to look at things to come.
Oh, hello. Oh, so, wow.
That'd make an awesome tattoo.
So Charles has put up a picture of a T-shirt that is going to be. Is this a new logo or just an enhanced logo?
New graphic.
Okay.
Got a new
image. So it seems like it's the Grim Reaper. Holding a
looks like
barley.
A
reaped piece of barley, right?
Yeah,
and I said reaped.
So yeah, and, it's actually really yeah. Cool. We just made it so his scythe is the grain. Okay. So there's the handle for the scythe, and it just continues on and transforms into that.
That'd be great.
It'll become swag soon enough.
Right, okay, awesome. There we go. Well, we'd like to be the first to wear that.
Well, you're the first to see it.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, we're going to take a real quick break, come back and talk about our chain beer, because you heard the slamming down of the samplers. That was where Kevin was pouring it. So we've got to taste it.
We're just chain drinking, slowly sinking in the bugs and the suds and the tone deaf singing, getting hillbilly high. We got a little swerve in our stride. Yeah, we're chain drinking, bar leaning, chug, lug, lug, and long as old Joe's slinging in beers on ice. Till that well runs dry, we'll be chain drinking.
All right, well, we were hoping that one of the folks from Skeleton Key, the Paul or Emily Slayton, could have made it out here. We're not certain they can. There's been meetings and rain and all sorts of stuff. So we said, hey, let's carry on regardless. Kevin, thank you so much. You went over to Skeleton Key, which is nary a 5-minute drive away, I would say, right?
It was a beautiful drive, except particularly in this weather. So what Paul and his wife Emily were able to give us today is the Petal Pusher Rose Wheat Ale. So it's a pale wheat with rose petals.
And we're calling this our chain beer because this is going to link us with our next Corridor 55 podcast, which will be at Skeleton Key, date to be determined. This beer apparently has rose petals in it. I'm not certain I know what rose petals taste like, but we used to have something called rose water in England. I think they used to give it to babies because it was a calming effect on their stomachs. Let's see if this has a calming effect. While I'm sniffing and evaluating, who wants to tell us about it? Alex?
Sure. I mean, first take on it, it's got a little bit of a nice cloudiness to it. You know, that's going to come from all the wheat protein in it. I definitely do get a little hint of that kind of perfumey floral character on the nose. It's funny enough, I've always wanted to do a beer with rose petals, so it's kind of cool to see it interpreted in this style. Yeah, you just get a little faint hintness of the fruit in there, but I think rose petal truly gives it kind of like a really nice floral aromatic quality to it, because you're not leaching too much flavor from it since it is a flower. There's only so much, you know, that you can extract from it, but it's nice and delicate.
Charles, this is the first one that you've tried tonight, because you know you like to stay stayed and in control.
Alex is probably making a face going, bullshit.
What do you think of this one?
I think it's very good. It's very light. It's very refreshing, crisp. And I don't taste the rose petals right away, but if I sit it down and just do that, make that mouth, make air in my mouth, I can get a little hint of rose petals.
That's funny you should say that, because my first sip, I got the what you said, the kind of floral, perfumey aroma, whatever that is, and I thought, oh, that's the rose, and then it went away, and you got the wheat ale. So it looks like it's a complex, even though it's a fairly simple brew, it seems like it's complex in how people taste it. Now, this one was done in collaboration with who? You have the information there, Kevin.
I do, but I can't pronounce much of it.
Oh,
so
go
it's,
ahead. That's why I asked you, because I couldn't do it.
Well, we say it's with Chef Pete Cohn of Chicago's Cherry Circle Room and Lonesome Rose.
All right. But I don't know it, but I know Alex said it sounded posh, and I agree.
And this kind of went to a conversation we had earlier. I really like the idea of adding botanicals and working more with that type of flavors. I know that I had a similar beer from Salmoff not long ago where they actually used rose petals. That's what got me turned on, at least the style of this, in terms of the additional flavors. Scratch Brewing out of Southern Illinois has been doing some fantastic stuff with using botanicals. Randy Mosier locally with Forbidden Root and his team have done a great job, and then there's a lot to be said about working with unusual natural flavors.
We happened
to shoot over to Skeleton Key because those bastards never came down to Black Horizon.
It was a little short notice, guys.
I'm standing here with Paul Slayton, and he's one of the co-owners and the head brewer.
I am not the head brewer. I am one of the co-owners. I brew occasionally, but my brother-in-law, John, is our head brewer.
Excellent. He's not here.
So
we can talk about it.
You can talk to me. My wife, my brother-in-law, and myself own the company together, yes.
All right. So you are the chain beer for this Corridor 55.
Excellent.
Charles is sitting across from you, and we had the pleasure.
There he is. He's back again.
And we had the pleasure of tasting your beautiful rose petal wheat ale.
Yes.
Right. I got it.
Petal pusher.
Rose wheat ale. Petal pusher.
Yes, petal pusher. That's
very
right.
Good name.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you.
So we kind of got together and talked about it, but we thought, hey, we'll shoot over, pass
Instead
by.
Instead of talking behind his back, we'll talk in front of him.
There we go. So tell us a little bit about how you brewed that little bugger.
So this beer was really special because we basically, I don't know if you're familiar with the Cherry Circle Room downtown in the Chicago Athletic Association.
You know what we said?
What?
It sounded posh.
It is quite posh. It is. So the Chicago Athletic Association is on Michigan Avenue. It used to be exactly what it sounds like, a place where Michael Jordan would go and swim. And there was a locker room there. You could practice basketball. And over the years, they had changed it into a quite posh hotel with several restaurants and bars throughout. It's a beautiful place. Second floor is the Cherry Circle Room, which is a nice higher-end restaurant. They do amazing brunch. They do amazing dinners. And I happen to know the executive chef named Pete Coonan, who used to be executive chef at a restaurant I used to work at a couple doors down called The Gauge on Michigan Avenue. And for years we've been wanting to do something together. Because of just time and the brewery and getting everything running, it's been put off until last month. And we had Pete Coonan come to the brewery and to brew this beer with us. We wanted to basically brew something for his restaurant, Cherry Circle Room, and his other restaurant, Lonesome Rose in Logan Square, that they could pair with food that would be something bright, easy drinking, fresh for the summer, and doing a wheat ale was a no-brainer, really. And since they are known for actually cooking with rose petals, and they do rose mignonette for their oysters, they do fried rose petals as garnish on plates. I didn't even know rose was edible until I started talking to Pete. But we decided, hey, what a great opportunity it would be to make a rose beer, which isn't really something I've ever come across too much. You see, like, a lot of hibiscus ales and things with chamomile in them and stuff like that. But to do a rose wheat was really just something kind of different and original. My wife Emily, she wrote the recipe for it. We did a small batch of it, tasted it out with the chef. He gave us a couple notes. We went ahead and then brewed a giant batch of it, which took about 6 pounds of dried wild rose petal, which is a lot of bags of dried things to walk in at once to your place. I'm pretty sure the entire place thought it was my drug dealer showing up at the time because of all these bags of dried crap that showed up that same day.
Sounds like a bad romance to me.
So wait a minute. Where the hell did you get wild rose petals from?
So they came from Rare Tea Cellars. Rare Tea Cellars, the tea company that... Basically through Chef Pete, he was able to procure them for us in a larger amount. He came out that day. We brewed the beer with him. The official unveiling of the beer is actually tomorrow downtown at the Cherry Circle Room and Lonesome Rose.
We got a preview?
Exactly. We got a little preview. We did an unannounced preview last weekend, and then we'll be debuting it here officially tomorrow as well. And then I'll be pouring it all weekend at Chicago Ale Fest as well on Friday and Saturday, which will be a nice opportunity for me to help promote Cherry Circle Room and Lonesome Rose, where we'll be pouring downtown as well.
We used to have rose water that we used to give to babies to calm them down.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, you're so excited about this beer. Maybe you need to drink a bottle or two of it. Alex joined us after he's finished his cleaning up.
We bailed on him.
I don't know if I know Alex.
Come in, Alex. Just tell him what you said about his beer.
No, I thought it was wonderful. Like, I've been wanting to do something with...
You didn't say that. Oh, no, go on.
You have me on tape saying
that.
No, I thought it was really good. I wanted to do something with rose petals, like, for a very long time, and I love just the floral aspect of it. Not super perfumey, crushable, easy drinking, and a wheat is, like, a perfect complement to that.
Well, and the tough thing was making sure that it's got that floral without turning into potpourri, too. You know, we wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be, like, drinking a candle, because that drives me nuts.
Easy to overdo.
Exactly.
Is there a little, like... peppery thing at the end that's
I think
kind of
that would probably be I mean if I had to guess it would be from the yeast. You get some of those estuary qualities from the yeast. It's probably a little pepperiness there. But there's nothing that we added to it beyond, you know, a simple, nice wheat base and the dried rose petal to give it that floral aspect. So
great head,
you
get a little too, bit, by the way.
Thank
poured
you.
Really well.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear because I've not poured one out of a growler yet. So
oh, it poured well.
Nice to hear. Good.
I mean, unless that was Kevin. I don't know, you know.
He strong pour.
So,
strong
it was a privilege to try it. Thanks
Thank you
a lot.
Very much.
We're going to look forward to setting up a date sometime towards the end of June, beginning of July, that doesn't coincide with the plethora of festivals. Come on down and do number 6 in the Corridor 55 special release series.
Thank you very much.
Are you
much.
Up for it?
I'm absolutely up for it.
All right, good.
I love to hear myself talk.
You have so
I'm
much bloody energy. It's killing me already. I need another beer. Okay, boys, bring in the pedal pusher. So, have you ever thought about using something other than hops?
We have. The biggest thing is just trying to find that perfect ratio. I think you really do have to balance the malt and the style of beer if you're ever using anything for bittering outside of hops, because enough people already have problems with bitterness of hops that if you were to add, you know, spruce tips to it, all of a sudden now you've got a really woody character, almost an oaky character, just super heavy on the earth. So small doses, I think it can definitely work, but you need to always find that balancing act. And I think what's really fun about this beer is that it works because it drinks like a beer should. It's not just, you know, opening up grandma's perfume bottle and just getting this hint of rose and stink and all of that. So you can you taste that, you can drink it, and you can finish it, and you could have another one. It always comes to balance. No matter how crazy your adjuncts are in your beer, you know, our philosophy here as well is just making sure that the beer, you know, you can finish that one and you could have another one and enjoy it.
So you did recently a collaboration with Skeleton Key, if I'm correct.
Yes.
What was that beer? Why did you do it? And can you take us through the steps that kind of come from how you guys do it? I mean, is it just you guys getting together and say, let's brew a beer together?
Yeah, a little bit of, we both enjoy each other's tap rooms. We both like talking over beer, and I twist everybody's arm about getting a collab going, but everybody has super busy schedules. So it just so happened that they had an opening. We brewed it on President's Day, which is a Monday. So basically everybody was closed for the most part and all the schedules lined up, which never really happens. With them, we wanted to do something a little more kind of seasonal in that. So we brewed a Blood Orange Saison. With them here. It was called Orange Collusion. It was just a really fun beer, really nice kind of peppery notes from the Saison yeast, big orange zest kind of juice characters to it as well. And the idea behind a collab is that in our proximity of each other in our tap rooms and breweries is that we get a lot of overlap in audiences. Them opening about a year, just a little bit of a year and a half before us allows, their crowd that might not even know about us to be like, I've never even heard of Black Horizon, and they're maybe 10 minutes down the road. So it gives us opportunity to kind of dual PR, just like if we have locals here, they get sent over there because they're like, I like this beer. I've never been to Skeleton Key. We should definitely check it out. So we kind of feed off of that marketing and that PR, and it's good to kind of just go back to having fun with beer as well, because you get in that mode of production and needing to meet deadlines and things where, you know, they come in and we just had some fun, drank some beer, and it doesn't feel like a chore some days, especially when you have friends helping out.
So does one of you guys do the recipe and then the other one looks it over and says, that sounds cool? And
yeah,
then
I had this beer.
One guy puts the hops in, another guy does the mash in, and
yeah, a little bit of everything. I had the idea, I wanted to do this beer for a while. I approached them about it and was like, what do you guys think of this? And I kind of gave it a once over and we're just like, yeah, that sounds fun, let's do it, and let's make it happen.
Well, I have to say that if this is I have to own up here, I haven't been to Skeleton Key yet, but if this is an example of what they have to offer, I'm definitely going to head down there. As you say, it's just down Darien.
Right down 75th
right down
Street.
There. Yeah. Yep, and it'll be an exciting experiment, and I'm looking forward to meeting those people. One thing you had said about local breweries. Now, do you think that with in all these different breweries that are coming about, is this becoming the new local for a new generation, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, Just think about Germany. And most of the towns had a brewery in the town.
Yep.
We're kind of mimicking that.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people take pride in that too. They're like, oh, we got a brewery in Willowbrook. Sweet. We're gonna become patrons.
Yeah.
And you know, and then little friendly rivalries too. You know, our brewery's better than your brewery. Blah blah blah. but I do like it that it's become like a neighborhood thing. And we have a group of Hinsdale South parents that come in and hang out.
Yeah.
Friday night after the football games, or you know, after the softball games, whatever. They're a good group. They come in. They patronize us. They bring their friends. And it's just the local spot to hang out and just shoot the, you know.
Breeze,
yes. Shoot the breeze. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, yeah, it is becoming breweries are becoming the new local hangouts.
Yeah.
I do want to bring about one topic we talked about a little bit earlier off mic was the vehicle. You know, with having a vehicle that has been, shall we say, completely covered with your...
it's a wrap, man.
A wrap, thank you. Completely wrapped. Have you heard a lot about people saying, yeah, we saw the vehicle and that's the reason why we came in?
Yes. Yes and yes. It's funny you say that. I live downtown. So I live in the South Loop. So
oh, wow.
I park the vehicle down near my condo in the South Loop. So I wasn't here, but it turns out one of my neighbors in the condo had come to the brewery because he had seen the van, seen the vehicle wrapped, and was like, okay, I see this all the time. I've got to go. And then it turns out, you know, he knew me anyway. So he didn't know it was mine, and didn't know it was my brewery.
Yeah.
So he came in. And actually, he's been back. He was in on Sunday. He brought his wife and friend in because he said, I go out to Westmont and Clarendon Hills all the time. So now I have another place that I can go to. Yeah. So people are seeing. I just got a text from my partner, Kevin. and one of his friends sent him a Snapchat of they were in Hinsdale. I was in Hinsdale earlier with the truck. And they sent him a Snapchat, said, oh, sighted the Black Horizon mobile. So, you know, it's getting out there. And I drive it up and down I-55 to get back and forth to the South Loop. And, of course, now I have to drive normally.
Yeah.
I can't be a speed demon like I usually am because, you know, people start blowing up our phone.
People see you with the state troopers, you know, and the lights and everything, they're going to look at it even
more. Yeah, there you go.
So it might be worth it, take it every once in a while.
Oh, I don't know about that. I try and stay out of that kind of limelight. But, you know, it reminds me, slow down, you know, people are watching, if there's traffic, I'm happy because that means I'm moving slower and more people get to see.
There you go.
The logo.
He's a driving advertisement.
Yes, I am. True.
Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks awfully much for giving us the time because I know it's brewing day. It's your day off. Hey, we got one beer left. What did I miss? Oh, Kolsch. Thank you very much.
It's the Radiant Vision. Sorry, I didn't want you to leave without tasting that.
So before we leave, tell us the details. Who's going to be the man who knows the phone number?
Oh, Jesus.
That's
old. Okay, well, you can look that up on the website. Tell us all the details, the address and where you are and what days you're open.
We are open Thursday through Sunday. And the address is 7560 South Quincy Street, Willowbrook, Illinois, 60527.
And the website is?
BlackHorizonBrewing.com.
And you're on Facebook as well,
On Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Yeah, we're social.
Beer menu. Yeah, right.
Yeah, beer menus, beer untapped.
Kevin's not here. You missed it all. Alex, thanks a lot for taking time out. Absolutely. I know you're at the end of your brewing. You've probably got some cleanup to do. Clean up in aisle 7.
A little bit. That's who's it. Volunteering for that?
Thankfully,
it's not too bad today. Yeah. You have an event, you need people to pour for you, give us a call.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you do festivals, but we're always willing to volunteer.
Yep.
And they do work for beer.
We work for beer. Exactly.
Yep. They say we're really cheap.
Thanks a lot. It's been another Corridor 55, number 5. number 5. And as always, it's good night from me.
And good night from him.
And cheers.
Oh, the they alcoholics
didn't. Alex, did you didn't clamp.
I didn't want it to spill.
Oh, no. You were cheers. Yeah. All the best, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having us.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint now. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give me another pint, please, Bob.